Thank you, Jim. I'm Ed Eby. I'm a member of the board of the Napomo Community Services District, and I'm going to be discussing the problem that we face on the Napomo Mesa regarding new information we have that we have uncovered since then. First, I'd like to get everybody acquainted with the Napomo Mesa and how it is situated with regard to the local area. Let me try to get this microphone on. Okay. The Santa Maria Water Basin, groundwater basin, is this area here. This is where all of us in the South County get our water from. Just to orient you, this is the city of Santa Maria here. Down to the south is Orcutt. Out here is Sisquoc Canyon and Rancho Sisquoc. Over here would be Oceano, Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, this area. And Oso Flaco Lake is down in this area. Since we had a major groundwater litigation, actually it's been taking for 14 years, the court that has the jurisdiction over this groundwater basin has divided the groundwater basin into three management areas. Each management area is presided over by a technical group that area, the Napomo Mesa management area, and the Northern Cities management area. Each of these areas has a technical group composed of engineers, geologists, and experts on water who report to the court. I'll talk more about those technical groups later. The problem we have in the Napomo Mesa is that we have only one source of water, and that's the groundwater that's pumped from beneath us. We all get all of our water from wells that are pumped beneath us. The problem with that is that water supply is in jeopardy. Unlike most cities in the country, we have no lakes to draw water from, no rivers. We have no reservoirs to store water in from the rainy season to the dry season. We have no access to pipelines that bring water from elsewhere, and we have no desalination plants that convert seawater to fresh water. So all of the things that most places have as backups to their water, that's a problem, is because we are next to the ocean, the Pacific Ocean. And we're so close to the Pacific Ocean that we share an aquifer with the ocean. This represents the Napomo Mesa up in this area where there's fresh water in the soil beneath us. It's mostly above sea level. And there is a place called a freshwater-seawater interface. We hope that's somewhere offshore, but if it isn't, we've got a problem. Now, as long as our well water is above sea level, there is a steady flow of water from the freshwater supply out to the ocean, and this freshwater-seawater interface is held back. If we pump too much water from our wells, we can pump that water level below sea level, which now invites seawater in, and we have what we call seawater intrusion, where that freshwater-seawater interface moves inland. Now, what that does is it poisons the wells that you had that were closer to the ocean that were supplying you fresh water, now that all that's available to those is seawater. Studied the water situation on the Napomo Mesa. And these studies, a lot of these studies are listed on a, blue flyer we have on the table in the back. And what that tells you is it gives a list of all of the studies over the last 20 years done by experts, by geologists, geophysicists, hydrologists, that have given their assessment of the water situation on the mesa, and it's generally a unanimous opinion. What they're saying is we're using twice as much groundwater as is being replaced by rainfall. That, of course, is going to cause your water table to drop. It's been dropping significantly since the year 2000, even when we had some above-average rainfall years. And the reason this is because we're using a lot more water because we have a lot more people here. The NCSD population has increased 20% since 2000, and the overall Mesa population has increased about 10% since the same period of time. As a result, the overall water use since wells have fallen below sea level. Neighboring communities that have been in the same situation, that are adjacent to the ocean, that have dropping well levels and well levels below sea level, have experienced seawater intrusion. The Nipomo Mesa Management Area Technical Group that I mentioned earlier which presides over this area here that's outlined in black, they have identified eight key wells on the Nipomo Mesa. These wells are representative of all wells on the Mesa, and by taking an average of the level of each one of these wells, the level of the water in the wells, they come up with an average that they call a key well index, and that's the average height above sea level of the water in those wells. They call that the key well index. These wells were selected to be representative of wells throughout the Mesa, and they were carefully selected so that if one of the wells has a significant problem, it does not throw off the key well index too much. They have eight key wells, and as you can see, in the year 2000, it was up around 50 feet. Last April, it was measured, it was down around 25 feet. So it's been dropping steadily since 2000. The second line on this is the rainfall over that same period of time. The third line is the average rainfall in the Nipomo Mesa, which is 16 inches. Prior to the year 2000, the key well index pretty much tracked the rainfall. And as the rainfall went up, the key well index went up. As the rainfall went down, the key well index went down. But remember that since 2000, the year 2000, our water use has increased 50%. What that has done is it has caused the key well index to drop. Even in the last 2 years where we had significantly more rainfall than the average. Last year, or the previous year, we had 20 inches of rain. Last year, we had 25. Even with that increase in rainfall, we did not get the increase in the key well index. If we do nothing about this water, the water shortage condition that we're facing, there can be serious consequences, and we could expect to see at some time in the future, if this trend continues, to see seawater intrusion, which would contaminate our groundwater. Once it contaminates the water, it could cause a permanent loss of fresh water in those wells after they get saturated with salt water. It could cause the people who supply water to you, the water purveyors on the Mesa, to implement extreme water rationing. It can also cause prolonged water shortages in case the wells are not able to provide enough fresh water. And then finally, the effect on property values. question to you would be, would you want to buy in an area that has water shortages and rationing? What would you be willing to pay for a property with those problems? Or would you rather buy your property from some other area that had done something about their water problems? Some people say that we need a regional solution. City of San Luis Obispo has five sources of water. They have groundwater just like we do, but in addition to that, they have water from Nacimiento Lake, they have water from Santa Margarita Lake, they have water from the Whale Rock Reservoir, and they have recycled water. All of these other cities from Avila Beach all the way down to Santa Maria have multiple sources of water. The interesting thing about San Luis Obispo is not only do they have multiple sources of water, from those sources they have twice as much water available to them as they are using. We are the flip side of that. We're using twice as much water that can safely be withdrawn from the mesa. So all of these other people have solved their problems with connections to pipelines, lakes, reservoirs, and even recycled water. We have not. Next slide I wanted to show you discusses seawater intrusion, and what we see here is communities similar to the Napomo Mesa and how they have dealt with or have not dealt with seawater. With the Pacific Ocean. Over the years, they had decreasing well levels. They are pumping their water, fresh water, from below sea level. They had seawater intrusion that's been documented since at least 1985 and getting worse. And they have freshwater wells that are permanently lost to seawater intrusion. I counted at least six public wells that are contaminated with seawater now. And those wells are lost. I don't know how many private wells are in the same situation, but the seawater in Los Osos has advanced two miles inland. And by the way, Los Osos has no alternate source of water. They only have seawater, or rather groundwater to draw from. Oceano is another case. They're closer to us. They share an aquifer with the Pacific Ocean. They've had decreasing well levels. A couple of years ago, they had all-time low in the well levels that were closest to the ocean, the ones that are down there in the agricultural fields. They were pumping those waters below sea level, 5 to 10 feet below sea level. In 2009 and 2010, the northern Fortunately for Oceano, they have multiple sources of water. Their solution to the problem is they backed off on their groundwater pumping. They took more water from Lopez Lake and the state water pipeline. They cut back by up to 90% of their groundwater, and as a result of that, over a period of about 2 years, the seawater disappeared from the Sentry wells. We don't have that option. We don't have alternate sources of water to reverse this sort of situation. So where is Napomo? We have an aquifer that's shared with the Pacific Ocean. We have decreasing well levels. We have wells, several of our wells, I counted at least 10 of them, that are below sea level. We have not yet seen any seawater intrusion documented or lost any of our wells to seawater intrusion. Not yet. Okay, next one. It's not just the NCSD that's concerned with the water situation on the Napomo Mesa. We did a survey recently. The people in the survey volunteered, the people answering the survey volunteered that the water was the most important problem that we have on the mesa. It was more important than public safety, the economy, unemployment, and traffic combined. It was more important to these people than all of that. And 73% of the people said it's extremely and very important to increase our freshwater supply. We've explored many options to the solution that we have, the water shortage solution we have on the mesa, and Mike Wynn will describe those options to you.
Do you want this or do you want these? Thank you, Ed. Before I start, we just have a notice here. Somebody that has a GMC small pickup, it's dark. The first letters are 4M96. Your headlights are on, and you probably want to do something about that. So if that rings a bell, it's in the parking lot outside now. My name is Mike Wynn. I've served on this board almost 12 years. Said, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about options, the kinds of options that people have talked to us about, and the kinds of options that we've studied. When we do that, many people don't look for options because they don't understand that we have a problem. And so over the last few months, we've been trying to get word out to you that we have a genuine problem. There was a time when only 30% thought there was a problem, and half of those thought the problem was the NCSD board. But we do have a water problem here. We have a shortage, and we need to find solutions. And we've been working on this and thinking about it and studying it for well over 20 years now. Some of you can remember the early studies that were done back in the 1990s. We've had technical studies done here by the state of California. We've had them done by the county of San Luis Obispo. Nearly all of them have been done independent of the district, although we've looked at the results. We thought we could do it cheaply, and those estimates have grown, of course, as reality set in. We've made headway in terms of land acquisition and easements and right-of-ways and other such things. We have spent, as a district, $3.1 million since 2004 just on design and the preliminary sort of work that you have to do just in order to come to folks like you and give you straight answers. You can't do too much guessing once you get started. State of California has shown confidence. They've given us a grant of $2.3 million, which we appreciate. Of course, we all end up paying that with our taxes, but nonetheless, that's a start. That helps us with it. And so we've ended up now with the question being raised then was, what do I do, Mike? Do I do like that or what?
I'll try to go on your turn to slide there.
Okay. Next. There we go. We've looked at lots of options over these 20 years, and many of you have been looking at those options as well. And a number of people have come to us, and they've given us information. To directors, you've said, have you thought about this? What about that? And we've looked at all of those questions. Some people have said, well, what about conservation? And it's a good idea. In fact, it's a necessary idea. In fact, over the last 3 years in the district, we have cut our water use by 20%, which is what the state said we'd have to reach by 2020, and we're there now. But we have to do more. Conservation is part of the problem, is part of the solution, but it doesn't solve the problem by itself because it doesn't create any new water. It just means that we stretch the water we have a little further. State water pipeline, many people have said to us, well, my goodness, you're only 18 inches away from that pipeline. How come you can't just tap into it and get it that way? We don't have to go to Santa Maria and back again. And it makes perfect sense. And it would have made perfect sense. The problem is most of you didn't get a vote on that. I didn't get a vote at the time. Most of you did not get a vote as to whether to take state water or not. But those that did vote said no. Started shrinking it from when it left Rio Grande. By the time it got here, it's only big enough to carry the water that Santa Maria and Santa Barbara need. There's no capacity in the pipeline. There's no extra space in the pipeline to carry any water, even if we could buy it from somebody. The pipeline is an opportunity that's gone. And we can all say it's too bad, but you know, you got to listen to the people. They tell you no, you have to move on. And so we've had to move on. Moratorium. Everybody's in favor of a moratorium that starts the day after they moved here. The fact is, I'm going to ask a question that I asked the last time we had one of these public meetings here. How many of you have lived here less than 23 years? Okay, look around. Notice the hands. My hand's up too. If you've lived here less than 23 years, you, like me, are part of the problem. It's not future growth that's the problem. It's the people that are already here. About 20 years ago and a little bit more, we started pumping a little bit more than what story. And as a result, we're the problem. It's not tomorrow. If we had a 100% moratorium, shut it down tight, we would still be pulling seawater in if that's the only thing that we did. Now, is that part of a future solution? This is my personal opinion. This is not a district opinion, but I think we need to have very strong controls on future growth. Otherwise, we'll bring in supplemental water, and then we'll just have a whole bunch of growth, and then we're going to be in the dumper again. So we can't say that's not part of the solution. But by itself, or even with conservation, that won't do the job. What else? Desal. How many people believe in desal? Well, we're about 50-50 on that one. I think in any long-term plan, we absolutely must have desal. We've got this huge ocean right west of us. And it's kind of scary because some people see a lot of water and they see a lot of growth and they kind of get cheerful and they want to pave everything on the mesa. But to go through to get this thing done. I believe that you and I will live to see a desal plant here on the mesa. But if we wait for that, our water is going to taste funny before the desal plant's built. So that's a great answer, but not for right now. What else? Recycled water. We take a lot of water in our sewer plant, and we treat it, and we let it back into the aquifer. I'm kind of a techie by inclination. If you treat it properly, I'll drink it. But there's a lot of people, if you say, flush your toilet, I'm thirsty, they feel a little weird. So for that to become a real solution, we're going to have to change the way we all taste and feel and think about that water. We probably aren't going to make that kind of a culture shift fast enough to let recycled water solve our problem. But is it part of our future? I believe in it. I really do. What else? Santa Maria pipeline we'll talk about in a little bit. There are other pipelines, and we'll talk about some of those specifically in a moment. But I want to take you to that last group, rainwater collection. Rainwater collection is not just one idea. To me, that stands for some really visionary people in this community. There are people who think hey, there's a lot of fresh water in an iceberg. Some of those are huge. You got to kind of love those ideas, don't you? You have a really foggy morning, and they look out, and they see all that water suspended in the air, and they say, how come we can't condense this down and collect it and drink that? I'm not sure I'd want to drink all the stuff that's in the atmosphere with it. But can you see the kind of things? There are some really interesting ideas that people have. But most of them are long on vision but short on detail. And to get it done within the next 2 years or 3 years probably isn't going to happen. But I want to encourage everybody that's given us one of those kinds of ideas, keep thinking. Keep sending those ideas. Some of these are going to work one of these days, and we need to use them all. But they're not going to be our solution right now. Turn, if you will, to the next one on pipelines. Now, let's look at this one first. When we look for a solution, sometimes we've been rude to you, and I can apologize. I know I've done it. Somebody's come to me and said, well, what about this? And because I've studied it for so long, I just said, nah, that's not. A real solution. Look at these criteria. We're looking for water that comes from outside the NMMA. It does not originate on the mesa. And to be quite candid, even if it was just off the south end, we don't want that either. Because that would migrate here probably anyway. Why should we pay to pump water that'll just migrate into our wells? And so any solution we have is going to have to come far enough away that if it's in the basin itself, it's going to have to come from a healthy section of the basin where the water would not have migrated here otherwise. That's the first thing. Secondly, there's got to be at least 2,500 acre feet a year capacity. The courts told us that's the minimum that we should be bringing in. We probably are going to need more than that before we're through, but that's the minimum that we're aiming at. So if you see a source, but it would only bring us in 1,000 acre feet or 500 acre feet, it's not going to be quite enough to get the job done. When? It needs to happen now. Water bills are so high. You're supposed to be on that board. I keep saying, honey, I'm sorry, but you got to pay the bills. Everything that goes into the water equation costs more money today than it did 5 years ago. You know, your electricity bill, it hasn't stayed flat in 5 years. Gasoline bills, everything that goes into the water's free. It's the pumping and the purifying and the chemicals and the personnel and all that sort of thing. Everything's gone up. And so the cost has gone up, and I want to keep it as low as possible. I know every director here wants to keep it as low as possible. So although we've looked at some of these, and they're great ideas, they're just rather expensive, we've tried to find the cheapest one that we can find that still is reliable. And it does have to be reliable. We have to be able to get it all year round. And last, it shouldn't require a lot of purification. Now, if you will, look at some of these other sources here, and they're in red, and I'm going to look at those really fast. You can see them. We will post this, by the way, on our website, so you'll be able to download this entire presentation and look at it at your leisure. And further, Osoflaco Lake water has become so polluted from agricultural residue and nitrates and human coliform bacteria that the fish there are growing tumors and they're looking bad. We would have to clean that up. And then what do you do with all the poisons you've cleaned up? Where do you take those? What do you do with them? You can't throw them in the ocean. So that's a problem. That's not a solution. Twitchell Reservoir. Twitchell is silted up. It's 50% full. And so it's not going to, it would also be three times what Santa Maria costs. Oceano CSD offered us 100 acre feet a year. And honestly, when you're that close to the ocean coming in, that's a very generous offer. But 100 acre feet wouldn't be enough. And it would cost us four times what Santa Maria water would cost per acre foot. Look at Lopez Lake. It simply isn't available. There's no excess capacity. Look at Nacimiento. Some people have said, well, look, it's coming all the way from west of Paso Robles. And everything, you can see what that cost would be. We're not exactly sure what it would cost. We figure 18 times what it would cost Santa Maria. So these are ideas that we've looked at and studied really hard. We've had engineering studies done on them. We hoped that any one of these would work, but they won't. What do we have? We end up with six solutions that have real possibilities. And I want to emphasize all six of these are great sources, but there's only one of them that will do the whole job. If you see a red up there, it simply means there's something in that blocks it from ever happening. For example, State Water Pipeline. There's no capacity available. If you can't force it through the pipe, you can't have the water. Santa Maria Pipeline, it's got its issues, but we can solve this. You can see it's green all the way across. It's water that would not come to us otherwise underground. 95% of it's state water right now. We could get the quantities we need. We could get it done in 2 years. It would cost us about $25 million. The others have issues. Desal, it's only a matter of time and price. I don't want to pay $100 million or $400 million, just the capital costs for construction and permitting. But that's what it would cost. Build a moratorium, no new water. Reclaimed water, issues, conservation. All of these have possibilities. All of these belong in the mix. But immediately, for a price we can afford, the pipeline from Santa Maria is it. Now, what do the experts say? The experts are unanimous. They say the pipeline from Santa Maria is the way to go. In both the second annual report and the third annual report of the NMMA technical group, they sent to the court this statement. The technical group recommends that the Napomo Supplemental Water Project be implemented as soon as possible. Those are the technicians that have been validated by the court itself. All of the experts say that. What do our neighbors say? You see, all the experts do. There are no exceptions. Here's the solution we're looking at. If you see that, it's a fairly short piece of pipe compared to all the other projects we've talked about. The price is as low as we can get it, and the supply is reliable. Now, to go into that in more detail, I'm going to ask our general manager, Mike LeBrun, if he would come and talk to you about the solution.
Thank you, Mike. Again, my name is Michael LeBrun. I'm the general manager in the Napomo Community Services District. I'm a registered civil engineer, and I've got about 20 years' experience in water resources management. great. Back to that slide right here. Again, an overview here. What we're looking at is a depiction of the piece of pipe that we've designed and are proposing to build. Again, overview of this slide. You've seen it before, but here's the city of Santa Maria, a depiction of the pipe. We'll look at more detail in a moment. The yellow outline here, got a bit detailed, more detail on it. We're 90% complete with the design, and we're moving to 100% design completion. This pipeline connects directly into the city of Santa Maria's, or would connect directly into the city of Santa Maria's water supply system in Blosser Road, where we'd need to build 1.2 miles of pipe along Blosser Road. Then we've got our trickiest section of the design, and that is a half a mile of pipe to go under the Santa Maria River. This is by horizontal directional drilling, would be located at a minimum of 40 feet is, I think, our lowest point, or our highest point, if you will, nearest the surface of the river. So under the river we'd go, and then we come up onto the mesa where we'd have a 500,000-gallon storage tank and a pump station. Then we connect into existing district facilities here, represented in blue, and then off into the district distribution system. These orange sections are improvements to the district's distribution system that would allow us to deliver the quantity of water that we're looking at. And I want to point out, I think we've got a next slide here, if you would, Ed. Water to those two water systems, and the rural water company system is north out of this picture. They're a mile and a half from connection to our system, which would allow them direct delivery of that water. Again, our design costs right now, this is based on a 90% design level, and that's at $25.2 million. And then the timeline moving ahead, to give a sense of when we could accomplish this, once we have voter approval on the financing mechanism, we'd be able to build the project in 18 months. Our next slide, please, Ed. So again, an overview of this, and this is new water to Napomo. What we're talking about here again is connecting to the city of Santa Maria's water system. The city of Santa Maria, currently 90% of the water they deliver is state water. The other 10% is made of groundwater, made up of groundwater. The city's water source, the city's water supply system is never less than 50% state water. And any groundwater that the city supplies as part of that mixture, the city's production wells are down in this more part of the city of Santa Maria does currently, and that's the groundwater element that would be delivered to us. That's all I have on that slide. Thanks, Ed. This gives an overview of where we are. As of January 2011, that's when we had our 90% design and updated our cost estimates. So that breaks down our cost estimate. I want to point out again, a state grant. Participated with the County of San Luis Obispo to apply for a integrated regional water management grant last January when we updated these cost estimates. And this past summer, the state awarded the county and the district that grant, and we're have $2.3 million there. And that, of course, has then reduced our overall total construction cost to the customers to $22.9 million. Thanks, Ed. This gives an overview of our schedule ahead here. We've got an assessment engineer's report, and I'll talk a bit more about that in another slide, but this is a detailed report that's required by state law. for their participation in the project. And again, that's broken down by an assessment engineer's report. We're working on preliminary report will be available here early in 2012, and that will lead to a benefit unit verification. This is a step by which, based on our preliminary assessment engineer's report, every property owner who is proposed to be assessed and participate in this project will receive a letter that specifies to your property what the proposed assessment is based on the draft assessment engineer's report. There'll be a 30-day period there where you can review that. You can look at the way your property's been categorized. You can look at the way your property's been assigned benefit, and you can raise questions on that, and you can raise issue, and we can get that correct. Then we'll finalize the assessment engineer's report and go to an assessment ballot vote. Now, this would be, again, then you'd receive every property owner receives a letter that says, then based on the final assessment engineer's report, here is what is another property owner, your vote counts twice as much. So that's the way we spread the assessment in the most equitable way. Following a successful assessment vote, we get our design to the final stages. We're working on that now. We solicit construction bids. We award those contracts, and we commence building that pipeline here late in the summer of 2012. Funding the Supplemental Water Project. What we're looking at here are bonds. I'm sure many of you have heard the term. Many of you are probably familiar. Bonds are the established and most economical way to fund public capital projects. You probably hear a bond to fix up the high school or a bond to build the police station or the fire station. So that's what we're talking about here. In bonding, funds are collected by selling a bond, and then you pay that bond off over a period of time. What we're looking at in the numbers we're going to talk about shortly are for paying that bond off over a 30-year period of time. And the payoff to support the capital costs of the project and the bond will be made by forming an assessment district. Companies that would be participating in the water project, and thus the property owners within these four water districts would be asked to vote and participate and have their property taxes assessed for payment. And just to outline, the light blue is the Napomo Community Services District. Down here is Golden State Water Company, I'm sorry, to the south end of the mesa. This is the Woodlands Mutual Water Company around the Woodlands development out to our west. And then in the lighter pink color up here, this is Rural Water Company. That includes the Cypress Ridge golf course area. And then up into the north of the Rural Water Company as well. I will point out that in both the Rural Water Company and Napomo Community Services Districts, there are areas that are served by those water companies that are outside the Mesa proper, but their water is being developed and pumped from under the Mesa, and those properties are included in the assessment district, would be included in the assessment district. Ed, thank you. Okay, so any owner would have the option to also make a one-time payment that wouldn't have financing charges for the 30-year financing of a bond. So you would be allowed a one-time payment option, a cash payment option, and that would be, again, at each property owner's choice. So you could either choose to have the tax levied on your property tax assessment or pay a one-time cost equivalent that would not carry a finance charge, and thus would also you wouldn't have that on your property tax lien. I'm going to talk about the benefit units here again, and and we're going to move to a slide that's going to talk about. But benefit units are the term that this is, the assessment engineer uses in assigning out the benefits of the project. So the assessment engineer defines a unity benefit unit, and we'll talk about it here a little bit more, and I'll try to make that a little bit more clear. But that's a term we'll use, is benefit unit. And that helps us understand how one property would be assessed compared to another. So let me go to that next slide. I think that gets us into that a little bit more. It does. So here are the major factors. Water consumption of that property is the basis for how that assignment is made. So again, this is a water project. So the benefit is that we're looking for establishing new sources and water reliability. So we look at the parcels, each parcel, for its potential water consumption based on these three factors. I have an example down below. This is one single-family home on 0.35 acres or less. That's about 15,000 square feet. That's a pretty fair-sized lot. That's assigned one benefit unit. If you're on a larger parcel, you'd be assigned a larger, a multiple, maybe 1.5 to 2 benefit units, that type of thing. Next slide. Here are some numbers. These numbers are estimated. They're based on one benefit unit right now. So if you're on a parcel that's 0.35 acres or smaller, this is you. If you're on larger parcels, there'd be a multiple up. On the first line, we have that one-time payment option. This would be an unfinanced number. You'd come up with a one-time payment, and it wouldn't land on your property taxes. The bottom is a monthly equivalent of the You can see that the numbers change across the four water districts. That has to do mainly with the level of participation in each water district. Okay, so, but you can see for a Napomo customer on a developed property, that's what we're talking mostly about tonight, that's $22 or slightly less if you're a Golden State Water customer, twice that if you're a Woodlands Mutual Water Company customer, and a Rural Water Company customer is just about that as well. Thanks. All right. Let's talk about some next steps. Like I say, the assessment engineer's report, that initial report will be ready, or the draft final, as they call it, will be ready in early 2012. So in January of 2012, we'll send out information to each property owner. Again, as I've described, it'll be based on the draft final assessment engineer's report. It'll tell each property owner, here's your parcel, here's how we've categorized it, here's what the assessment that we're proposing on your property is, how many benefit units, and what that equals in dollars. Correct any errors that we've got, and then the assessment engineer will take that information and develop a final assessment engineer's report. That in all along the way, again, we just want to point out that we'll continue to update information and cost estimates as we come toward this finish line, if you will, or this financing vote. And then finally, the assessment engineer's report is finaled, and the property owner vote will go, and again, now a mailing to every property owner, and this will be a mail-out ballot. It'll be a 45-day ballot period. For every dollar you are proposed to be assessed, you will have a vote. Okay, so again, if you're being proposed, if your property assessment proposal is $500, you'll have $500 worth of vote. If your neighbor's on half as big a parcel as you, or a different categorized parcel, you'd have the vote accordingly. Ultimately, like I say, though, this property owner vote will be the final vote. Time frame for this, what we're looking at here, another couple months. We expect the vote to be mailed out to properties in March of 2012. It's a 45-day period between April, and then the vote is scheduled currently to end on May 9th. Would be the end of that. With a successful vote, we get out and bid this project, we get our bids in, we award them, and we get to construction about midsummer. Okay. That is the end of our presentation tonight, and I want to remind everybody, we've got the cards. If you haven't got one of the, they're actually 4x6 cards, but they're yellow. We've got more, I'm sure. If you haven't filled one out with your question, please do, if you can. Please mark at the top a category so it can help us sort them. We'll take a 10, what's that? Oh, okay, and we'll take a 10-minute break, and then we'll get to the questions and answers. And I understand that our supervisor has come in the meantime. Supervisor Paul Teixeira is here with us tonight. Paul, welcome. Thanks for being here.
All you people know she was a supervisor for a while. And the next thing we're going to do is turn this over to Mike and Ed, and they're going to answer the questions.
We introduced him at the beginning of the meeting. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. And if any of you missed the introduction, Paul Teixeira, our present supervisor, is here, and he was introduced at the end of just before the break. But he is here also. No, you guys can take it.
Thank you, Jim.
I will start, and I will answer all of the problem questions. Mike Quinn will answer the option questions, and Mike LeBrun will answer the solution questions. And we'll each do one question, and then we'll come back and go forward. Any questions that don't get answered tonight, we will be putting those on our website and have the answer there. So my first question is, I like this one because it's an easy one. It says, what if your property currently... Community Services District, Golden State Water, Woodlands, or Rural Water Company, if you pay a water bill to any one of those companies, you would be in the assessment district and you would be part of the paying for this. If you're not in those areas, you don't vote on it and you don't get charged for it, you don't get assessed for it. If you are in those areas, you get to vote and you are eligible for receiving supplemental water into the future. All of our questions that we're going to answer are going to be on these cards. Later on, we're going to have public comment, and people can make individual comments. Now, our next one is options.
You want to just go ahead and take a bunch?
No, just okay. Here's a couple of things quickly. It says the white paper handed out repeatedly refers to the court. Why is the court involved? 1997, the city of Santa Maria insisted that the farmers down in the valley should help pay for the fix to Twitchell Dam. I'm giving you the short version. Trust me, I'm not an attorney. There were countersuits. It was like nuclear warfare with everybody lobbing shells at everybody else. It was tremendous. And in the end, the judge made a ruling, which is a fairly extensive ruling, and it's online. And so when we talk about the court, we're talking about the court in Santa Clara that had jurisdiction over the entire thing and what their ruling is. Part of the ruling we wrote, that is, those of us that were agreeing with each other, wrote a stipulation. The judge read the stipulation and incorporated it into his ruling. So it no longer belongs to us, it belongs to the court. So every time we're saying the court, we're saying these are enforceable provisions of the decision the judge made. And that's why we keep talking about him.
Somehow I ended up with the biggest pile of questions. And I'll do my best. One of the questions, I'm trying to put them in like piles here. How does the cost of the Santa Maria water that we're buying add into this whole figure? The numbers that I've shown you tonight include a portion of the cost for Santa Maria water if we run this direction with the financing. The $100 currently, and that's one of my questions is how much is that water after the current rate increase that just was adopted? And that's what a 40-unit customer in Napomo pays, is about $100 currently. The additional cost of the Santa Maria water on top of the assessment figures that we showed you tonight would be on the order of $2 a month or $5 a billing period. Okay? Can I do another one that's very common here, and then I'll send it back that way? Yep. Water rates in general are subject to change. The water rates are not fixed. They haven't been going down. Water rates set by the City of Santa Maria, which is a public agency like the Napomo Community Services District, they're all set according to Proposition 218. They require public notice and a defined threshold of requirement in tying the cost of that water to the cost of developing and delivering that water to the customer. One of the other questions here that's asked by quite a few is, it's asked in both ways. What about the avocado grower? What about the individual landowner out on the west with a well? Are they going to be assessed? The answer is no. Why not? The answer is it goes back to the court. It goes back to the adjudication process since 1997. And frankly, that overlying landowner with a private well has the senior right to that water. The court did not require them to be part of this physical solution. And so that's where we stand as customers of public water purveyors and water rights in California. You got to understand, there's vacant land out there still. Water rights in California are not a first-come, first-serve thing. Just because we've used more water than this basin's allowing doesn't mean that the owner of a vacant land out there will never be allowed to develop. It's much more complicated than that. I'll turn it over.
Okay, I have a question here about, says population went from 10,000 to 13,000 in a certain period of time, and about two-thirds of the water used on most residential areas is used on irrigation. So if one person moves into an area, he moves in with his landscaping demands. Another issue is since about the year 2000, we have added two golf courses and all the turf that's being used there. We have Cypress Ridge in the Woodlands and all of the turf that's associated there. Since that period of time, we've also added Napomo High School with all of its playing fields, which use water for the playing fields. In addition to that, if you go up the hill and look at Dorothea Lange School, you'll see about 5 acres of grass that's being watered there. So it's not one person for 1 gallon of water. It's the uses that they bring along with them that require more water. If you go to our website and look up the Napomo Mesa Management Technical Group annual reports, in that we detail exactly where the water is being used and what type of water user is using it, whether it's a water company like the NCSD, whether it's agricultural, what kind of agriculture uses are going, whether they are of determining how much water is being used. And you can see the water growth over the period of time. What's interesting is the non-residential water use has remained fairly constant. That's the agricultural and the commercial. That's remained fairly constant since about the mid-70s. What has increased tremendously is the residential water use.
I'm going to take a couple of quick ones here. It says, where does the state water pipeline come from? Well, the water itself comes from the Sierra, and snow melt and other such things, as you know, way out. It starts down the Central Valley, and then there's a thing called the Coastal Branch that comes west. It comes over through an area we call Polonio Pass. That's east of Shandon. And there's two large lines that come in there, and only one line comes out. The line that comes out goes through a treatment plant, and its treatment capacity was designed to serve as many people as signed up for the water at that time. So it dribbles down through the county, comes, it's east of San onto Kachuma Lake, eventually dumps into one end of the lake. They suck it out at the other end of the lake, and it goes on to Santa Barbara. So that's where the water comes from. Next question, has creating a dam and lake at Dana Adobe Park been explored? The water currently runs out to the ocean. You know, this is one of those really innovative ideas, but that is what's called a blue line stream. And so once you start doing that, you're looking at fish and game, you're looking at the Army Corps of Engineers, you're looking at fish and wildlife, you're looking at every environmental group that ever cared about a fish. And it simply is one of those ideas that maybe 50 years ago somebody could have slapped it together and it had been fine, but it's in the real world it's not going to happen today. If we could tap that much water, if you just look at the volume, there's not enough water there to actually meet our needs. But it would be something. It wouldn't be nothing. But that's not it. Last question I'm going to handle. Conoco Refinery uses water from the Black Lake. Why can't we? Actually, ConocoPhillips doesn't take water from Black Lake. That's a perched. Of the water that's used on the entire mesa. In the process of trying to use that water carefully, they have reduced their water 45% they're taking. And now, with the new technology, and now they're out to expand, but they're going to expand by 1%. So they're well below their historic height. And the courts ruled, this isn't anything we had anything to say about, the courts ruled they can pump up to their historic limit. So they could actually pump 44% more water than what they're currently using. But they're not going to do it, they say. And, of course, we hope they don't.
Thank you, Mike. I've got a question here that that really talks to kind of post-supplemental water project and getting to a point Director Wynn brought up. How do we get the county to avoid rampant growth once we've resolved our initial water or the current water supply issue? And I don't have a simple answer for that. I will say that the Board of Directors of the Napomo Community Services District has been very active in engaging the county over that says that there will be no more general plan amendments that increase water demands on the mesa until supplemental water projects available and until those new developments, that subdivision, that new general plan amendment brings its own allocation of supplemental water onto the mesa. That was a significant ordinance that it was adopted by the county some years ago, and again, it at a great deal of effort by this local district that accomplished it. I think that work will have to continue. We understand we live in one of the most beautiful climates and areas, not just of this state, but I think of this nation and this world. And as such, there'll be a constant demand for increased development and density of population here. And those of us that are here will have to work diligently to protect our way of life and our water resources, of course. One of the other questions, and I'll take a couple and then hand it back over to one of the other guys here. How and why is Rural Water involved in this project? Rural Water Company is one of the four major water purveyors up on the mesa, as we talked about. They're the ones up in the light pink. Configuration. There's a mile and a half of pipe that needs to be completed from the rural system to the connection point with the Napomo system where delivery could be taken. It is to rural and their customers and really the Rural Water Company to build that mile and a half of pipe. Now, why would a customer up in Rural Water Company, if they don't get a direct supply of water, why are they required to participate? The answer to that, folks also understand, the answer to that's also in one of these questions about how come that farmer up there who's using the groundwater, they get the benefit from having our groundwater table relaxed and come back up, and they're not participating. And that answers your question. Rural Water Company would have a benefit, indirect albeit, that as the basin becomes healthy and water levels are restored, their wells are in a healthier situation, and there is a direct perceived benefit. And again, that is something, the participation in this project is something that the court reviewed and approved and put forth. So rural is being asked to participate.
Of seawater documented, okay? There's a report called the Interlocutory Stipulated Judgment that was done by a technical group appointed by the court. In their May 2010 report, they showed us some real evidence of seawater intrusion, and this will be in our previous presentation, which is on our website. What this shows, this is from the report, this shows the seawater intrusion advancing from 1985 up to 2010, shows it advancing 2 miles inland in Los Osos. This is the other view looking crossways through the soil there, and you can see how the seawater intrusion has come in. The coral color is the 1985 boundary. The yellow is the 2004, and the blue is how it's advanced up to 2010. So there is real document. Management area technical group, in their annual reports, 2009 and 2010, described the seawater intrusion in detail in their report. You can go to our website and see those reports. Specifically, the independent confirmation is from the technical group. They're the ones that reported the seawater intrusion and documented it. It's in section 4.3.2 of the 2009 Northern Cities Management Area Technical Group Annual Report. It's again in their 2010 Annual Report, and it's described in paragraph 4.2.3.1. I don't know how you could get any more documented than that.
That's, by the way, also in county documents. The conservation and open space element includes mentions of that, as does the is the county's water master water plan. It's also in that. So you can see it in a number of documents. I'm picking up the ones about options or potential solutions. Here's somebody who says, stop growth, stop more building, make all the new pay. This is, in America, we're having economic problems and we're not immune to it. I know there's building in some places. The kinds of building that are going on are like additions or in the Woodlands, they're marching right along. But in the NCSD, I don't think we've given a permit in what?
I think that actually over the summer, we had about 6 new water connections in the last year, but those were based on older permits that we're just catching up. So we have seen a little more activity.
I want to say again what I said before. If we stopped all growth entirely, period, and there would be support for that, that wouldn't solve the problem. If you've been here like I have, less than 23 years, we're the problem, and we're going to have to deal with the solution. Now, those of you who've been here longer, you know, you have a problem you did not create, and my heart goes out to you, but sympathy won't keep the seawater out. We're still going to have to do something about it physically. Moving on. Why are we allowing developers to build more if we have such a large water problem? And they settled it out of court. And their court settlement included Ordinance 3090. So they can have no new subdivisions without supplemental water. They can have no general plan amendments without supplemental water. And this project, this first phase of the project, will not provide supplemental water for general plan amendments. This is catch up. This is not about the future.
Thanks, Mike. I've got a question here that said, is it true the district is looking at decreasing water connection fee for new developments if the assessment is passed? It's a two-part answer. If the parcel that is attempting to connect to the water system in Napomo has been assessed for and is part of the assessment district for supplemental water, then yes, their connection fee to the system would be reduced accordingly. If that parcel chose not to participate or not participate at the level that it was now attempting to connect for development, so in other words, if the parcel participated in a one benefit unit order, like one home, these questions during the break, a lot of people are asking, how come is the assessment based on a property's potential use for water and not their current use for water? And I think it's a very good question. What we're talking about here, though, is bringing in a water project and building the capacity for bringing in that water, and it needs to be based on what the property's potential use for water is over the next 30 years. And that has everything to do with how it's zoned, whether more homes could be built in the future, or whether it's a commercial property and can be converted into a laundromat or any number of water uses. Now, let me tie that in with another question I have, and I've answered partially already, is what other additional costs are they in addition to the cost of building the pipeline? In the funding scenario that we presented tonight and the numbers, there is some of the cost of the water is included in that assessment. However, there is a portion, and I've outlined about what it would cost in adding to the water bill, that is based on the use of water. So ultimately, the amount of water you use will and as they go up,
And as the city of Santa Maria's water rates go up and the cost of supplying and delivering water here on the Mesa go up, those costs will be passed on in rates, because that property tax assessment amount will be fixed, and it will be fixed for 30 years. So additional costs will come forward as the cost of water delivery goes up. That will be borne in the rates, and again, then your rate will, you know, how much water you use will reflect on how much of a portion you pay for that. Okay, I've got one here. How many people were in the survey you quoted of the Napomo residents? The surveys that we've conducted are actually done by a scientific, surveying company that actually looks at all four of the districts and pulls a statistically significant sample from all four of the areas. And I believe the number that they hit is around 300 to 400 folks to get that statistically significant survey. So somewhere around 300 to 400 people are included in the survey that was quoted tonight.
Okay. A website with the answers.
And the ones that were answered will also...
As were the ones that were answered.
Thank you, Ed.